Thank you, Quails, for that once again this afternoon. Aren't you glad that there's a God that helps us carry our heavy loads? And sometimes they get pretty heavy, don't they? But I'm glad for a God that helps us along the way. Praise his wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. I've been enjoying the preaching of the co-workers, teaching. Brother Goodwin said that I could do whatever it takes to keep you awake this afternoon. So, Brother Case, would you come up here and help me? Oh, well, I appreciated what he brought this morning. Oh, if the Lord would just help all of us to get to where he wants us, to stay there and do what he tells us to do. Man, it always works much better that way, doesn't it? And Lord, help us in this day and age. It works that way on the workforce, doesn't it? It most certainly does, and it works the same way in the church. If we are where we belong and doing what we're supposed to do, I know in the workforce it can get pretty frustrating, can't it, when someone doesn't carry their end of the load. You know, they want someone else to do, you know, and now they like to pull the pay, but they don't like to do what they're supposed to do, and it just makes it a real tough situation. But you know, it's the same way in the church world. When we won't pull our end of the load, it just makes it tough, and someone else is going to do it, and someone will pick it up. But oh, that the Lord would help each one of us. Thank you for each one of the gentlemen for the messages that they have been bringing. Amen. Shall we stand, please? Just want to lift out a part of a verse once again this afternoon. And that is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10. But the God of all grace. And I'd like to talk to you this afternoon on grace. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for grace. One for grace, where would I be? I have no idea where I would be. But I am grateful for grace this afternoon. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you this afternoon for grace. We're glad that it has been in our life because thou hast given us grace, and it's thy grace that saves us from sin. Now, Lord, we ask that you would help us in the next few moments as we look into your word, and in your precious name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Grace. It came up in the People's Hour, I guess that's what it's called, this morning. Different ones were testifying and different things were being said. And finally, we came to the point our brother led in amazing grace. And then some more testified. And one had said that is probably their favorite hymn, and that is probably one of my favorites. I have different favorites, but for years, ever since probably no doubt clear back in my teen years, that has been my favorite song is Amazing Grace, for it is amazing. It is amazing to me that God would love us enough that he would send his son. And first I would like to notice this afternoon, and that is the source of grace. Where does this grace come from? The God of all grace. He's the source of grace. God the Father is the source of grace. We can see that also expressed in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Where did that come from? That comes from the Heavenly Father. And I'm glad for that grace. And it comes from a perfect individual or being, I guess I should say. It comes from God. And so that grace is perfect. It's lacking absolutely nothing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I were perfect? I wished I was perfect. My wife says sometimes I'm a perfectionist. Well, I might want things perfect, but I can't perform the perfection that I would like to see. I'm just one of those type of people. Everything's got to be whatever. It's got to be just right. And I try, and sometimes I get frustrated. I like to work with my hands and so on and so forth. And if you might remember the message that I preached here before on the decoys and carving the decoys. And the guy that taught me, he was also the type of guy that he was just a perfectionist. And so we did our best to do what, but you know, every time, everything that I've ever done, it's always been lacking in some way. I would do things, and I've made some things for my wife or whatever, and she would think that it looked very nice, etc. But you know, I would start seeing all the mistakes, and sometimes I'd point them out. She says, "Well, if you wouldn't have said nothing, I wouldn't have noticed." Well, I can't help it. I notice it. It's not perfect. But I am glad for a God that is perfect, and His grace this afternoon is perfect. And it comes, the source is comes from God. We also see the channel of grace. Where does it come from? For the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. I am grateful for the Heavenly Father that is full of grace, but I am grateful for the channel that was used to bring that grace to you and I. Aren't you glad for the channel? And it's a channel that is perfect. There's nothing that stops the flow of that grace, for it comes through Jesus Christ. You know, it took grace on Jesus Christ part also. Can you imagine there in heaven, being in heaven, being there in a place of perfection, in a place that everything is well, but realizing that down here there was fallen man, but Jesus Christ was willing from the very foundation of the world to come here. That took grace, and He is the channel of grace down to this world. Can you imagine if He wouldn't have come? Can you imagine if this channel would not have come, the one to bring that grace to us? What would grace do? Though the Heavenly Father was full of grace, if the Son was not willing to bring that grace to you and I am glad that He was willing. We not only see the channel of grace, but we also see the administration of that grace. The Spirit of grace. Aren't you glad for the grace that comes to our hearts? The Heavenly Father, full of grace. The Son of God, willing to be the channel to bring that. And the Holy Spirit, willing to apply that grace to us. I say, thank the Lord. I am glad for the Trinity. We also see the gospel of grace. The Paul the Apostle there testified the gospel of the grace of God. Aren't you glad that this is a gospel of grace? Can you imagine if it wasn't? Can you imagine if it was a gospel of just justice? Can you imagine if it was a gospel of wrath? Can you imagine if that's all there was? But I am glad for the gospel of grace this afternoon. And sometimes I'm afraid if we're not careful, we can come across with the gospel of Jesus Christ of not much grace in it. But I am glad for a God that is full of grace, and that it is grace that saves you and I, and that it's a gospel of grace to everyone. If we're not careful in the day and age that we live, and with all of the things that are transpiring, with all of the vulgarity and with all of the sin that is around about us, all the way in our government, from the top all the way down through and down into our societies and so on and so forth, you look at it and the vulgarity and the things, and some of it is just downright disgusting. But if we're not careful, that can continue to dwell on us. And if we're not careful, we can come across that there's not grace for those kinds of individuals. But I want to tell you something this afternoon. I am glad for a God that has grace, that is able to reach the vilest of sinners.
I am grateful for grace. It has saved us, and thank God for it. And thank God that that grace reaches. I was thinking earlier today, and I believe it was even last night, along this line of the gospel of grace. I'm glad that it can reach. And I was thinking, as the sister was mentioning today, I believe that she made mention that her mother got saved in her 90s, lived to 104. What is that? That's grace. That is only grace. That after a person, and young people, listen this afternoon, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. You don't need to waste your life. The best thing you can do is come to Jesus Christ and give Him everything. Give Him your all. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand it all. You don't have to understand it. There's a lot of things that I use and do that I don't fully understand. When you flip those lights on, those switches, lights come on. I'm not sure how it all works. I know one thing that I've learned, and that is if you happen to be in the wrong place when the switch is turned on, you're going to know it. I've messed with a little bit of electricity, but I'm not big on electricity. And one of the problems is I can't see it. If I could see it, I could see it coming at me. But I can't see it. One particular church I pastored, I don't know if Brother Case has heard this story or not, but possibly. And he would know all the guys that are involved in the situation. But a church I pastored, it was built before I got there. But when they were building it, you would just have to understand the pastor that was there at the time. He was a jokester himself, and so some of the guys that were that had come to help work on it, they loved to just kind of wind his clock a little bit. Well, he kind of deserved it because he wound theirs a lot. And so my understanding, they were working on this, and this preacher was up, I think, in the attic. It was a big church, and he was up in the attic area, and he was doing some wiring. And he went down to the breaker box and turned the breaker off. And then he would climb up out of the basement and up through and climb up. I'm not sure how he was getting all up there, but he'd finally get clear up in the attic and clear down to the far end. And while he was making his way there, they turned that breaker back on. And he'd go up there and he'd begin to wire it off. And so he would climb all the way back down and turn that breaker off. They did that to that man, I don't know how many times. You would have thought he would have caught on. But he wasn't catching on for some reason. You just have to understand. But anyhow, he finally caught. And he didn't know that it was on, but he found out real quick that it was on. Why? When he touched it. Well, that's one of the problems with electricity. I can't see it, and so I don't like working on it. Never forget another time I was actually working Bingham Camp. And we were working, and they wanted me to do some wiring and some lights on the outside. And as they were doing that, he said, you don't need to shut the electric off. As long as you don't touch both wires, it won't hurt you. I said, okay. I trusted him, and I went about it, and I did it, and I didn't get shocked. That's shocking. But anyhow, I did it, and I made it through it. But I'll never forget one year he was doing it. And actually, you know, it was funny how that when it was his turn to do it, he always turned the breaker off. He turned the breaker off, and what was amazing, there was a bad ground, and he still got shocked. Oh, what are you saying, preacher? Oh, I'm saying, you know, there's some things that I don't understand, and one of them is electricity. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But, you know, I still know it works. Young people, this afternoon, you don't have to know it all. All you have to do is come to Jesus Christ and confess your sins, and the grace of God will save you from your sin. And you don't have to go in the depths of sin. You know, sometimes we have a little bit of a philosophy that if you go in the depths of sin, then you got a greater story. No, we don't need a great story, folks. The greatest story we can have is that at a young age, we got saved. That's a great story. To me, it's a great story to say I never went out there. It's nothing to brag about. I can't brag in my own self, but I thought, as Brother Goodwin asked, How many of you are saved before you were 20? Yes, I've had my struggles, I've had my ways. But I was so glad that Brother Goodwin, I could raise my hand and to be able to tell you, no, alcohol's never been lifted to these lips. Cigarettes never been between the fingers and dragged on. Never done illicit drugs. Why? Is it me? Absolutely not. But once again, it's because of the gospel of grace. The grace of God is what has kept me from those things, because I was like any other young person. I'm as human as anybody else, but the grace of God, the gospel of grace, and I am glad it's one of the greatest things that I can preach about here in this encampment, is the grace of God. And it's not only for you young people, but I want to tell you, if you have wasted your life seemingly, you have been in the depths of sin, I want to tell you this afternoon that grace that is saved and able to keep a person from the depths of sin is also able to lift those out that have went into the depths of sin. I say praise God. I am glad. I don't know about you gentlemen that are ministers, but I am glad that it's a gospel of grace. I'm glad that it's a gospel of grace. I am so glad that as God has given me privilege to preach in different places and speak in other parts of the world or whatever it might be, I am so glad that I was always able to offer there's hope. Why? Because it's a gospel of grace. That's why there's hope. It's not in us. It's just not our doctrine, but it's what the Bible teaches. Aren't you glad for the gospel of grace? I say praise the Lord, but not only the gospel of grace, but thank God for the application of grace. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for the application? You know, it's one thing, folks, to know about grace, but it's another thing to partake of it. You know, grace wouldn't have done me any good. I was raised in a preacher's home, come from a line of preachers. More than one generation, and a lot of my family, most of my family has been in the ministry. And so I knew the doctrine. I knew how I was supposed to live, but, you know, it really didn't do me any good until I came to Jesus for that grace. I probably used the illustration here, but I want to use it again. I'll never forget as there in Cincinnati when we were at God's Bible School as a student. There were different missions. I didn't happen to work in this particular mission. But I'll never forget, they were relaying the story of one time. I had heard about this man different times. There was an alcoholic that lived in the area of downtown. I can't remember if it was Elm Street Mission or whatever. It really doesn't matter, but it was downtown. And down in one of those inner city missions, and there were different times that individuals would invite him to church. And to one of the missions, and he just seemingly did never want to have any interest in it. But the man knew the Bible. They said that he could stand there and quote scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. He knew the Bible. Don't know what his background was, but he had some kind of religious background. But he could quote all of those scriptures. And finally, one young gentleman made his way and was inviting this alcoholic to church, to the mission. As he was inviting him, finally that alcoholic looked at him and he said, I want to tell you something, young man. He said, I know more of the scripture and I can quote more of the scripture than you probably ever will. And that young man looked at him and said, that's probably true. But he said, there's one thing about it. He said, what little bit I do know is doing me a whole lot more good than all of the scripture you know. Why, folks? It doesn't matter how much scripture we can quote. It doesn't matter how good we know the doctrine. It doesn't matter all of those things. It's good to know all of that. It is good to know the scripture. It is good, our brother touched on it, to memorize the scripture. That is great. It is good to know our doctrine. It amazes me the people that don't know our doctrine. I don't know about you, but it amazes me. When I was pastoring in upstate New York, we were going door to door, and as we were getting ready to go door to door, there was a young, well, I guess she would have probably been in her 30s at the time. And she'd been saved for a while. She wasn't raised in the church, but she was saved. And we were getting ready to go out. And she says, "Well, preacher, what do I say if they ask me about what we believe?" I said, "First of all, just give them a testimony." That's what Paul the Apostle did. He just told them what happened. I said, "Just tell them what." I mean, she had a beautiful testimony, what God had done for her. I mean, she wasn't raised in the church. She had went into the depths of sin, and et cetera. And I thought, but you know what really stunned me? I'm like, why doesn't she know our doctrine? Lord, help us in this day and age. We need to know our doctrine. Preachers, we need to preach our doctrine. People need to know why we believe. And I believe as Brother Case was saying today of teaching our people what we believe and why we believe it. Not just because it's been passed down for three generations. That's not what it's about, folks. Why we believe what we believe is here. You say, "Oh, well, preacher, that's not that important." Oh, most certainly is, folks. It has to be founded here in the Word of God. The principles and the precepts are found right here. And aren't you glad for that? I say, praise the Lord. But anyhow, we were getting ready to go, and I was like, "Oh, Lord, help us to learn our doctrine." But I want to tell you, you may not know the doctrine and all that, but aren't you glad for the day that the grace was applied to your heart and life through the blood of Jesus Christ? I trust that you can say it has been applied. And then also, last of all, this afternoon, I would like to look at, and that is the reign of grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Aren't you glad that it's just not something that happens in an altar prayer and then it's all done? But this grace reigns in our hearts and lives, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us when? In the time of need. You say, "Well, preacher, does it just mean the needs of salvation?" Yes, aren't you glad for grace? But I want to tell you, I am grateful for grace that goes with us on a daily basis, and that we have access because of this. We have access to the very throne room of Almighty God. I think sometimes we really forget what this is all about, and the fact that because we are saved, we have the privilege of talking with the Creator of the universe. You say, "Oh, preacher, we know that." I wonder sometimes, though, how often we really think about it. That we really think about it. I'm afraid sometimes we take it for granted, don't we? I'm afraid we take it for granted. But I want to tell you, I am glad for a throne room that is filled with grace. And we can come in any time. I say, and how? Why can you come in any time? The reason that we can come in any time, the reason that I can come to the very throne room of God anytime, day or night, is because I'm a child. Huh? Yeah, my children are grown and away from home. We live an hour away from some of them. We live, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours from our one son, and the other two only live about an hour from us. But you know what? Those kids can come to our house and walk in the front door. Huh? You don't have to call and say, "Hey, Dad, can we come?" It's wise that if they're going to come in at 2 o'clock in the morning, that they call and tell me. Because I would like to greet them appropriately. You know, don't startle me like that, son. That just is not wise for your health. Don't startle me in the middle of the night. But you know, they can just do that. They can just walk in. They can just go to the refrigerator and open it up. Our youngest, Wesley, skinny as a rail. But he can pack some food away, but he's just as skinny can be. He'll stay skinny as long as he works where he's at. The other night he worked from 4:30 on Thursday morning until 5:30 on Friday evening. Nuts, but when you run records, that's the kind of stuff that happens. But you know, old Wesley, he'll come in and his mom will be fixing Sunday dinner, And he'll come down. And he'll come in and he has to have me hold me over because the meal's not quite ready. Huh? Do you know what? He knows that he can go to the refrigerator that's in the house. He can go to the refrigerator that's in the garage. He can go to any of the cupboards and just open them up and say, "Mom, what do you got?" Huh? Why? He's a kid. And he's my kid. And you know, rest of the young people in that church, they just don't do that. They just don't come walking in the front door any time of day or night. They just don't walk in and start rummaging through the cupboards. Why? They're not our kids. Now, don't misunderstand me. We try to be very congenial, etc. But, you know, they don't feel comfortable in doing that because they don't belong to us. They just don't belong to us. We try to be the minister, etc. You understand, but I think you understand where I'm going here. They are not a child, so they just don't feel comfortable in doing that. Our daughter dates a guy from the church. Now, they've been dating for a while, and so, you know, he's starting to get the same feeling. He can just kind of walk in the door. You say, "Oh, well, that's fine. If they would happen to get married, that's fine, because then he's not just a son-in-law, he's a son. You can do what rest of the kids do." Huh? But you know, he has some married brothers and sisters that just don't do that. Oh, no. They just don't go walking in our front door and going to the refrigerator. But our children do. And you know, folks, we are God's children this afternoon. I think sometimes, no, it didn't say come arrogantly, but it said you can come boldly. My kids don't come arrogantly in the house, but they come boldly. Yeah. They come boldly into our house and walk in and do whatever. They can go wherever, wherever you want to sit. Prop your feet up, put them on the coffee table, do whatever you want. Why? They're our kids. They're our kids. They can do whatever, but they're gone from home. Well, that's all right. I haven't made it there, but I'm already a child. And he tells me I can come to his throne room boldly this afternoon because I'm one of his kids. And I can tell him anything I want. I can just tell him anything I want. I can bring anything to him. I can tell him when I don't understand something. I can tell him I don't know why this is going on, Lord. And that's not questioning him. There's sometimes we don't understand things, and sometimes we can come to, "Lord, I don't understand why this is going on." You know, my daddy taught me when I was a kid, "Son, you're allowed to ask when I ask you to do something if you ask me in the right way." If I come to him, "Dad, I don't understand. Why do you want me to do this?" My dad would look at me and he'd give me an explanation. If I came in and he told me to do something, I said, "Why?" I'll tell you the answer I'd get. Once I got back up off the floor, he'd say, "Because I told you to." You say, "Well, that's too strong." Well, I understand, but I'm talking about if I came across arrogant and nasty. You don't ask me that way. But son, if you'll come to me, and I believe our Heavenly Father is the same way, there's times that I've come to him and said, "I don't know why, Lord." And then I finished it, and that's all right, Lord. You don't have to tell me, but I'm just telling you, Lord, I'm just not sure. But Lord, I'll still serve you. And you know, there's some times that he's answered me. There's sometimes he showed me why, and some things I didn't. But then sometimes it took 10 years to show me why that happened in my life. I knew at the time it was for my good, but I'll just have to be honest, I'm as human as anybody else. I didn't understand. But I was glad that I had a Heavenly Father that understood me. He understood me. I'm glad that no matter what I go through, I can come to him. And I don't have to walk in timidly. Is he going to hit me? Is he going to accept me? No. Because the reason that I'm accepted, now listen to me, the reason that I'm accepted when I enter into that throne room is because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not going in on my own merits because I couldn't stack up enough merits.
I couldn't. But I'm glad that I came to one. His name is Jesus. And because of his grace, I can now enter into the very throne room of Almighty God, not arrogantly, but not fearfully, but boldly, and just pour out my heart to him. Sometimes I cry, and sometimes the load's heavy. But there's other times I come into the very throne room of Almighty God with praise on my lips, and my heart is as light as a feather. And you know what I like about it is, it doesn't matter how I come to him, he understands why I'm coming the way I come. Why? Because I'm his kid. I'm his child. He understands me. I wished, I'm sure some of you as parents wished, I wished that I could have understood my children better than I did. I understood them better than other people did because they were my children. But I was human, and there was times I didn't fully understand them. Did you? Always understand yours? No. But I'm glad that I have a heavenly Father that understands me fully. He totally understands me when I come to him. Grace. Aren't you glad for the grace? The source of grace. The channel of grace, the application of grace, and the reign of grace. I trust this afternoon, grace reigns in your life. I say praise the Lord. Thank you for your kind attention. Shall we stand? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you at the close of this service this afternoon, again, we are grateful for your grace. We can't fully understand it. We can't comprehend it. But we're glad that it's there for each and every one of us. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless, be with us throughout this day, and be part of this encampment. And in your name we ask it. Amen. You're dismissed.